Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
Let's turn in our Bibles to Joel chapter 2, verse 30. Gary told me this morning I didn't need to prepare, but he's right, it's in me, but I like to get things in order. It says this, "And I will display wonders in the sky and on the earth, blood, fire, columns of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes." I'm getting excited as I do this study with you guys. I'm getting excited about the season and the time we are in. The title of my message today, "Are We Closer Than We Realize?" Are we closer than we realize? Let's look and pull this up, Karen, Leviticus 23. I know I talk about this, but I'm just going to put it on the screen. "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, these are the appointed feasts of the Lord that you shall proclaim as holy convocations. They are my appointed feast.'" Whose feast are they?
They're his
feast. Go on, Karen. "6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day it is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwelling places. These are the appointed feasts of the Lord, the holy convocations which you shall proclaim at the time appointed for them. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at twilight is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. For 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work, but you shall present a food offering to the Lord for 7 days. On the seventh day is a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land that I give you and reap its harvest, you shall bring the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. You shall bring the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest.'" Is that as far as it's going, Karen? We're going backwards. Technical difficulties. It does. Good, Pam. That's right. There we go. "And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord so that you may be accepted on the day after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it. And on the day when you wave the sheaf, you shall offer a male lamb, a year old without blemish, as a burnt offering to the Lord, and the grain offering with it shall be 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour, mixed with oil, a food offering to the Lord with a pleasing aroma. And the drink offering with it shall be of wine, a fourth of hin. And you shall eat neither bread nor grain parched or fresh until the same day, until you have brought the offering of your God. It is a statute forever throughout your generations." Now he said forever throughout your generations. "In all your dwellings you shall count 7 full weeks from the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering. I got that part. I'm just going to get my Bible. It's all right. Don't worry about it. "You shall count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. Then you shall present a new grain offering to the Lord. You shall bring in from your dwelling places 2 loaves of bread for a wave offering. made of 2/10 of ephah, and they shall be a fine flour, baked with leaven as the first fruits to the Lord. Along with the bread, you shall present 7 1-year-old male lambs without defect, and a bull of the herd, and 2 rams. They are to be burnt offerings to the Lord with their grain offering and their libations, an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord. You shall also offer up 1 male goat for a sin offering, and 2 male lambs 1 year old for a sacrifice of peace offerings. And instead of going on, we're going to stop there. In Leviticus 23, these are the 7 feasts of the Lord. 4 spring feasts, 3 fall feasts. And I know I keep repeating myself, but I know that it's going to... Let me just back up and say this. My mom started this over 20-some-odd years ago, and she started talking to me about the feasts of the Lord, and it bored me to pieces. Honest to goodness, I was bored. I was like, Mom, leave me alone. There's so many other things in the Bible that we could talk about. And she would go on and on and on and on and on and on about the feast. And you may be there with me right now. You may be in the same place I was with my mom 20 years ago. But the Lord has gotten a hold of me in this message, and it pertains to the very hour that we're living in, because it has to do with Jesus Christ. It has to do with His first coming, and it has to do with His second coming. The first coming, He came. The first Passover was in Exodus, when they put the blood of the lamb over the doorpost of the homes and the death angel passed over. That was the very first Passover. But here God puts in a commandment that these are His feast days, and you're going to come and you're going to do these 7 feasts. What are these feasts? They're holy convocations. These are God's set appointed times. What does it mean? It's in the Hebrew, it's Mikra and Moed, or Moed, and it means dress rehearsals, and it means God's day timer. I don't know about you, but I want to get on God's day timer. If He's going to show up on a certain day, I want to be there. And He said, this is forever. These are His feasts. They're not the Jews' feasts. They're His feast. And He shows up on these days. Well, He literally showed up on those days in the spring feast. Literally. He showed up as the Passover lamb. When He's coming in on Nisan 10, which is the spring, Nisan 14 was Passover, but He's coming in on the donkey on Nisan 10, and He's going where? Into the city of Jerusalem, and what's going to happen to Him? Because He turned the wrong direction. You know, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. They're waving the palm branches. They were laying them out, you know, and He turned the wrong way, and the same crowd that was crying, Hosanna, 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 was now standing before the Roman rulers saying, crucify Him. Because He was supposed to be their conquering king. He was going to deliver them from Roman oppression. Well, at the same time on Nisan 10, this is when the inspection of over 200,000 lambs is taking place in the temple. We know that Jesus goes before Pontius Pilate. He goes before Herod. He gets sent back to Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate says, look, I can't find anything wrong. He's perfect. Come on, that's good news. So here He is, the Passover lamb, getting ready, being inspected. On Passover, He's literally fulfilling it at that very moment. That's so cool to me. When He says, it's finished at the 9th hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, at that same hour, for thousands of years, they had been slaughtering the lambs in the temple. That's good news. He became the one sacrifice, because all that those lambs and bulls and rams and whatever else they slaughtered for thousands of years were basically a credit card payment, and a debt needed to be paid. And the only way a debt could be paid is the man Christ Jesus, who had no sin, had to show up. He had to come down out of heaven, right? He took off His deity. He became human flesh. He walked in purity and holiness and sinlessness on the earth, and then He gave His life so that you and I wouldn't have to go through this process, because the debt had built up. So He laid in the tomb on the Feast of Unleavened Bread because He was the sinless sacrifice. Leaven represented sin. He was the only one that could have done that. It was a time and a season that they would practice getting leaven out of their hearts and out of their lives. And they even showed their children. They would teach them how to get the leaven out of the house. They would hide the leaven in the house. And then they would go in and search the house for the leaven as a representation of what we should do in looking into our hearts and searching for any leaven, any sin, and getting it out. Repenting before the Father. And then on the third day, we have the Feast of First Fruits, and he rose again as the sheaf offering. He was the offering that was given by his Father. He was the best of the best that heaven had, and it was given to us, and he was now presenting himself to his dad. That's a good day. So that's why these spring feasts are so important. Now, 50 days from Passover, 50 days later is Pentecost. And now he promised. Now he's on the earth for 40 days. I can't imagine what this must be like in Jerusalem. Your great-great-great-great-great-grandfather shows up one day just alive and walking the streets of Jerusalem again. You know, that's got to be strange. I thought you were dead. I was. So on the 40th day, Jesus ascends, but he tells his disciples, I want you to go and wait. I'm sending the helper. I'm sending the one that's going to help you. It's good news. Sure enough, Pentecost was fulfilled that day. Acts chapter 2. Do you see it now? Jesus, I mean, every square inch of it. Oh, I have it on the back today. So why is this important to know? Why do we keep talking about the feast? Why do we keep talking about it? Because I believe the hour is late. If Jesus is going to fulfill the spring feast, dot every I, cross every T, he's going to fulfill the fall feast because there's three left. Haven't been fulfilled yet. What are they? Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Trumpets, Feast of Tabernacles. They believe that on the Feast of Trumpets, Jesus is going to show up. He's going to rapture the church. And then at the Day of Atonement, they believe he's coming back to bring judgment. Day of Atonement is about judgment. This was the, I know we were talking about this morning, Noel was talking about how they went into the Holy of Holies. They only got to do that once a year on the Day of Atonement. It's the only time one priest could go in with the rope tied around him because he if he messed up or he sweated, right? He got yanked out dead. I don't know of anybody that died. There might have been somebody, I don't know. We'll have to get to heaven, go to the video room, rewind. And just go through it, right? That's where I'm going to be here in the video room. I think it's going to be interactive, though, like the holodeck on the Starship Enterprise. I think you're going to be able to get in there and interact with what's going on. It's got to be really cool. I mean, we're talking God. I believe it will be. I want to talk about something that just happened a couple of weeks ago. How many of you have heard of the Dire of Straits? The Dire of Straits. The
Rock and Roll Group.
There is a rock and roll group, Dire Straits, but that's not what I'm talking about. The Dire of Straits is a 3-week period in Israel's history that's very important. It's a time of great mourning for them. And it starts on the 17th of Tammuz. I know. And ends on the 9th of Av. Yeah, these are all Jewish months. Something that you probably didn't realize that happened on the 17th of Tammuz is that Moses threw down the first set of tablets and broke them on the 17th of Tammuz. This is where this 3-week period of difficulty began. 9th of Av is the day that both temples were destroyed, one in 586 BC and the other one in 70 AD. the ninth of Av was also the day that the spies came back and gave their negative report about the promised land. You seeing a pattern here? It's interesting, isn't it? So we had the Babylonians destroy the temple in 586 BC. We had the Romans destroy it in 70 AD. We had the Bar Kokhba revolt was crushed by Roman Emperor Hadarion. The city of Betar, the Jews' last stand against the Romans, was captured and liquidated. Over 100,000 Jews were slaughtered in 135 AD. This also happened on the 9th of Av. In 1290 AD, King Edward I ordered the expulsion of all Jews from England on the 9th of Av. They didn't settle again until after Oliver Cromwell gave them that right in 1657. During the Spanish Inquisition, Ferdinand and Isabella issued the something decree on March 31st, 1492, ordering all Jews to leave Spain by the end of July. This was on the 9th of Av. It was during this time that Christopher Columbus, who may have been of Jewish descent, left to discover America. World War I broke out on the 9th of Av in 1914. On the 9th of Av, the mass deportation began of Jews from the Warsaw ghettos en route to Treblinka. On the 9th of Av, August 14th, 2005, 10,000 Jews were removed from their homes forcefully in the southern Gaza Strip. The 9th of Av, Hurricane Katrina formed in the Gulf of Mexico. Pretty cool, huh? Might be significant, might be worth looking at. Are you following so far? Let's look at Genesis 1:14. Hallelujah. And 15. She's got it. There it is. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. What are the lights of the heavens to be? Signs and seasons. This word goes back to appointed times again in the Hebrew. In Luke 21:25, and there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and upon the earth dismay among the nations, in perplexity at the roaring of the seas and the waves. That's interesting. I've been talking about this a little bit in Joel. We're going to get into some more of it this week. And then the following week we've got, I heard Brad say, we've got that guy coming. I can think of his name. It's coming to me. Bill Vanderbush. So in 2014-15, we had blood moon tetrads. I know this is getting old, but you're going to get it. I believe in y'all. I believe in you. Okay? We had four blood moons, a tetrad, in 2014 and 15, and it kind of became a big deal. But nothing happened. The significance was that it's not that blood moons happening is rare. It was the rareness of it was that the blood red moons fell on Jewish feast days or God's feast days, right? They fell on Passover and Tabernacle both years. What is God saying? Well, Passover had to do with Jesus' first coming. Tabernacles has to do with the millennial reign. It must have to do with the second coming. God is sending the earth a message in the lights in the sky, right? He's sending us a message. Last year, we had the solar eclipse across the nation of America, totality, meaning it went over the entire nation. This happened in Nineveh several months before Jonah arrives on the scene. They have a total eclipse of totality over the entire nation of Nineveh. Before that happened, they had had a plague that even affected the king. They had had a civil war, and then they had had another plague before the blood moon or the solar eclipse over the nation of Nineveh. They were ripe for repentance before Jonah even got, because they saw the solar eclipse as a bad omen to the nation. And from what they had already been through, they knew something had to change. So maybe Jonah was not that great of a preacher after all. Just kidding, Jonah. Just quit. Just kidding. August 21st, 2017 was the day of this eclipse. It was 33 days before the Revelation 12 sign, which you've heard me talk about, Revelation chapter 12, right? Nod your head if you know what I'm talking about. Nobody. Okay, we'll get to that in a minute. 33 days. The eclipse begins in the 33rd state, Oregon. It ends in South Carolina on the 33rd parallel. It occurred on the 233rd day of the year. Ezekiel 33 was a key scripture, the watchman on the wall. 7 years later, we're going to have another eclipse on April the 8th, 2024. It's going to form an X over the state or the United States. And I told you, some of you know this, the X, the very center point of that X is a little town called Makanda, Illinois. The name Makanda means Little Egypt. This is going to happen during the month of the spring feast. It will happen on Nisan 1. The eclipse crossed 12 states just 1 month before the Revelation 12 sign. The span of the eclipse was 70 miles. It's the 70th year Israel became a nation. It was the 50th year since the Six-Day War and Jerusalem was restored as the capital city. God is saying something to us. The next thing that happened during the Feast of Trumpets last year was the Revelation 12 sign. And I've gone back and looked. It hasn't happened before in 7,000 years, and it's not going to happen again. What was so significant? If you'll turn with me to Revelation chapter 12, it hasn't happened in 7,000 years. Go to NASA and figure it out for yourself, but it hasn't happened. And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon, and under her feet and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child, and she cried out, being in labor and in pain, to give birth. The Revelation 12 sign has to do with the Virgo constellation in the heavenlies. And normally there's 9 stars that are over her head. But this year, 3 planets aligned to give her the 12 stars over her head. It's not going to happen again. Is the hour maybe getting later than we realize? God seems to be sending us a message. Hey, hello, wake up. It's time. Get ready. What does it all mean? Okay. You know, I didn't get to do this one. Maybe I'll do it another day. But the Super Blue Moon, January the 31st, had another prophetic significance for the timing that it was, according to another Jewish holiday. July 27th, which we know is just a few weeks ago, is another Jewish holiday. It's called Tu B'Av. It's basically like our Valentine's Day. It's a time of love. It's when most Jewish people want to get married is during this season, during this holiday, Tu B'Av. It's a week after the Dire of Straits comes to an end, the Ninth of Av. So they've gone from a season of mourning and travail to a season of love and a remembering of covenant that God made with them. So to be Av is to remember the covenant that God made with Israel and that he loves them with his whole heart. So on to be Av this year, Jerusalem had a blood red moon over it on this holiday. And it was kind of interesting because it can be a bad or a good omen. The Israelites saw this as a good omen that God was smiling upon them on this day of love and saying, hey, I haven't forgotten the covenant that I made with you. And here's a sign. So the Jews are excited. Let me tell you how excited they are. What's one of the things that has to happen before Jesus returns? Just one thing in Israel. The temple. Do you know what they're saying right now? Because of this and some other events, because of what President Trump did by declaring Jerusalem as the capital city, he's the only sitting president that's ever done that, moving the embassy there and confirming that this is the capital. Did you know President Putin wants the temple rebuilt? Trump wants the temple rebuilt. The Jews are kind of dragging their feet. Where did they drag their feet before? Zechariah. They were told to go rebuild the temple, right? And they kind of drug their feet. They're like, well, you know, it's over there and there's work. And they kind of and it was a Gentile, Cyrus, that encouraged them and gave them the resources that they needed to go build the temple. The prophecy of Cyrus is in Isaiah 45. I've shared this. Trump is our 45th president. I'll let you do some. So let me read this information about Tu B'Av. It's celebrated on the 15th of Av in the Hebrew calendar. According to the Talmud, Tu B'Av was a joyous holiday in the days of the temple in Jerusalem, marking the beginning of the grape harvest in Yom Kippur. Marked the end of the grape harvest. On both dates, the unmarried girls of Jerusalem dressed in white garments, which they borrowed and went down to dance in the vineyards. Only Joshua and Caleb gave a report filled with faith. The Israelites were sentenced on the 9th of Av to wander in the wilderness for 40 years until the generation had died out. Only Joshua and Caleb were permitted to enter the promised land. Coming down, it's backwards. The Talmud states that there were no holy days as happy for the Jews as Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur. It's celebrated as a festival of love, and it's similar to our Valentine's Day. God is telling the Jewish people this year, hey, get ready. They're getting excited. Messianic Jews and Orthodox Jews are getting excited because of this sign in the heaven, because they see it as a possibility that the temple is going to get rebuilt. Well, we know there's a whole lot of problems with that happening, right? Because the Dome of the Rock sits on the very foundation of where the temple is going to be built. But do you know that there are Muslims that want the temple built? What? So Muslims want to see the temple rebuilt, and there's even plans, they've drawn up plans that the outer court could be the Dome of the Rock. Because there's that, how are we going to make this all work? I'm telling you, it's happening. What does that mean? Here's some very interesting information. How long is the tribulation period? 3.5 years. No, 7 years, but it's broken up into 3.5 years of peace, and then what? The Antichrist takes his mask off, and it's 3.5 years of great tribulation, right? Does anybody know how long it takes to rebuild the temple? It's 3.5 years. Because of the prayers and the scriptures that have to be read, it takes them 3.5 years. You think with technology, we could just throw that puppy up in a couple of days. going to take 3.5 years. I've thought, theorized, opinionated about this issue. So the man of peace comes in and says, hey, guys, everything's okay. There's been lots of problems going on. There's been lots of things happening in the earth. He shows up as the man of peace. He causes peace. 3.5 years later, right, he steps into the temple and causes the abomination of desolation. Can you imagine if they do? I'm not saying they're going to start building the temple next year. I think there'll be a proclamation. Okay, you can stone me if I'm not right, but I think just based on what I've seen and hearing, the signs flashing, that there could be a proclamation to rebuild the temple. Now, it probably will cause some uproar for some of the people in the Sunni or Shia Muslim world, right? But even the Saudi Arabian king wants to see the temple built. But what happens when they start building it? It takes them 3.5 years on the point where they're about to open the thing up, restart the sacrifices. The man of lawlessness walks in and sets up the abomination of desolation. Wouldn't that be weird if that happened? Just a theory.
Just a theory.
Just a theory. Isaiah 40 is read during Tu B'Av, which was July 27th. And it's about the nations of the earth comforting Israel. I think we're seeing that happen before our very eyes with what President Trump's done. Those who bless Israel will be blessed. Those who curse Israel will be cursed. We're blessing the nation of Israel. We made right decisions. Unfortunately, the country split 50-50. We won this time. I think we lost last time. The church didn't want to vote for a Mormon. We should have voted for a Mormon. You know what else is interesting about this blood moon that happened over the nation of Israel? The duration of it. Do you know how long the duration was? It's the longest one this century. Lasted from start to finish, 6 hours and 13 minutes. The Jews got excited about that. Why would they be excited about the time? There's 613 commandments in the Torah. You wish you could make this stuff up, don't you? Is the time getting late? Let's turn to your Bible in Matthew 24, verse 15. I'm going to blow your mind here again. I'm going to go ahead and say this today. I'm going to stab at some sacred cows in the church. Why not? Charlie's not here, Pam. He's not here. What is he going to do? He can't stop me. Sacred cows. Christmas is not Jesus' birthday. It's not even close. Easter is not the resurrection. It's not. I mean, and I know that we've never told our children Santa Claus is real. Why did we choose to do that? Because we were holier than everybody else? No. I didn't want to lie to them about a fictitious person, and then they find out the truth, and then I've told them about Jesus, who they can't see, and they're wondering if I'm telling the truth about that. Easter is a pagan holiday. It's the worship of Ishtar, the goddess Ishtar. Christmas is a pagan holiday. It's the worship of the sun, S-U-N. And who did all this? Who made all this happen for us? Constantine. He forbid the Christians from celebrating the feast of the Lord. He forbid them from reading their historical books, what we call the Apocrypha today. He forbid it. He said, you know what? Go ahead and just Christianize these pagan holidays. And that's what they did. And we've carried on the practice. The seven feasts of the Lord, if we practice these feasts, if we follow them throughout the year as believers, it takes us on a journey to get closer to the Father. So what are the anti-feast days maybe taking us on a journey to? These pagan holidays that we celebrate, who are we giving honor to? I know we don't want to talk about it because it's about the kids. No, it's not. It's about the Easter eggs. Go read up on what the Easter eggs were painted for. It was for the slaughter of children. That's not good. I don't even start about the Yule log. You're Matthew 24, right? We've been celebrating or trying to do our best at Hanukkah. We're doing Chrismukkah at our house. We haven't had a tree for a while. This is just our decision. I'm not telling you have to do this. I just decided I want to be a part of the truth. I don't want to continue the lie. So we do Chrismukkah because our kids still want crap, even though they know Santa Claus is not real. Didn't help me at all. And they found out in Hanukkah they get gifts every day during Hanukkah, so they want a gift every day. I said, yeah, you know what that means? They got bread. They got, you know, some straw. They got some, you know, some homemade gifts, which is what I get for my birthday. That's what I got for my birthday, homemade gifts. They were made with love, and I loved them. I really did appreciate them, but John 10:22, Jesus shows up on the Feast of Dedication, and it says right there in the scripture, it's winter time. It's winter. John 10:22, Jesus shows up, Feast of Dedication. It's the Feast of Hanukkah. What is Hanukkah? You can't find it in the Bible. What is the Feast of? You can't find it. Where is it? Huh? It's the Festival of Lights. But where's the story? How did they come up with this holiday? It's in the book of Maccabees 1 and 2. Another thing outlawed by Constantine. God is wanting knowledge to increase in this hour so that we're not caught unaware. Here's it. You're going to love this. The story of Hanukkah is right here in Matthew 24. What? Verse 15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to get things out that are in his house. And let him who is in the field not turn back to get his cloak. But woe to those who are with child, to those who nurse babes in those days. But pray that your flight may not be in winter or on a Sabbath, for then there will be such a great tribulation, such has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever shall. Jesus is relaying the story of Hanukkah right there. He said, when you see this, flee to the mountains. Do you know where the Maccabees went? To the mountains. The Jewish people understood what Jesus was talking about because the Greek guy, forget his name, you can look him up, he goes into where? He goes into the holy place, he slaughters a pig, it's an abomination of desolation in the holy place. He said, so when you see this begin to happen, he's talking about the Antichrist now, when you see the Antichrist go in and he makes the abomination of desolation in the holy place, it's time to flee to the mountains. It's yet future again, but he used something in the past, 168 years before, to share with the Jews of that day and the church today. When you see this happen, so we know, here's the big kicker. Let's just say, for kicks, they make a proclamation next year that the temple's going to be rebuilt.
Run to the
temple. Not yet. Don't run yet. It doesn't mean, even if they make the proclamation, it doesn't mean it's going to happen. Start building it next year. I mean, they made a proclamation in 1917, the Balfour Declaration. And it wasn't for 50 more years before Jerusalem was the capital. It wasn't 50 more years before that, you know what I'm trying to say, Israel became a nation. So it didn't mean just because they made a declaration or a proclamation, it's going to happen in manana. But I'm telling you, the times that we're in are getting serious. And God is wanting the church to wake up and partner with him in this hour. That's what Joel is about. He wanted the people to wake up and understand the sign of the times, what they were going, what was really going on. But the lethargicness and the apathy of the Jewish people in that day was, hey, everything looks fine. Even though there were 10 kings in the northern kingdom and only 2 in the southern, and they were all taken into captivity. They were split. Why? Remember why? Because the 10 kings in the north wanted to still worship the golden calves. They rebuilt them after Exodus. We've rebuilt some of our own golden calves in the church. We said at the end of the year it was going to be about intimacy and urgency. Intimacy has to do with our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He's looking for wholehearted devotion. My wife sang it today. He takes our weak and broken yes. That's all he wants. And he'll transform our lives in a way that we won't even recognize ourselves anymore if we just say yes. The problem is, as we get older, like Gary, we have a few birthdays, right? And we're still making the same mistakes.
Not like Gary.
Not like Gary, because he's been perfected. But we're making the same mistakes, and we're like, oh, it's hard to say yes again, because you know, because of the experience that you've had through the many birthdays you've gone through, you're probably going to disappoint him again. And so what we stop doing is we stop confessing our sins one to another. We stop going for inner healing. We stop going and telling people what's going on in our life. And something begins to build and fester and create a stronghold on the inside of us, and we get further and further away from the Lord. We harden our heart, like Charlie preached about the blaspheming the Lord. Huh? Blaspheming the Holy Spirit. We move further and further away from the Lord, and we don't even realize it doesn't happen like that. It's over a period of time. It's the frog in the water that the heat gets turned up on. It's the little foxes of Song of Solomon that come in and begin to gnaw away at your vineyard because you're not cultivating that intimacy. It's up to us. It's in Leviticus that it says it's the job, it's the duty, it's the responsibility of the priest to keep the fire burning on the altar. Who are the priest? We are the priest. It's our duty to keep the fire of intimacy burning on the altar. It's nobody else's responsibility. It's not the pastor's responsibility. It's not the conference speaker's responsibility. It's not your wife or husband's responsibility. It's your responsibility to keep the fire burning on the altar of your heart. So he's coming. I don't know. The more I talk about this, the more I'm a little freaked out about it. Oh, thank you. Amen. I like getting tipped. Praise the Lord. No, I'm a regular. My pants are falling down. Praise God. Happened out in Louisiana. It was not pretty. Hallelujah. Intimacy and urgency. The more I think about this, the more I think I'm like, is this really happening? It's almost like it hasn't really dawned on me yet. It's like I got a little glimpse of it, and yeah, it sounds right. This is really good, but I don't think I have the full picture. I don't think I'm fully understanding what I'm saying even to myself. how big this is. Because we've been, unfortunately in America, we've been lulled to sleep. Have we not been lulled to sleep? You know why this week I really believe the Lord wanted to do something different? Because we're so comfortable just going through the motions of church that it's just become okay with us. I'm not okay with it. I'm not okay with it anymore. I'm not okay just going through the motions. Let's sing some songs. Let's give our money. Let's hear a message and let's go home. I want Jesus. There's a desperation that's on the inside of me that I need him right now. My wife was right. There are people in this room, including myself, that desperately need the Lord to show up in their lives right now.
Yes.
We're weak and broken people. Jesus talks about Hanukkah in Matthew 24. We don't get it. You know why we don't get it? They took it away from us. That's why Paul says in Thessalonians, this day shouldn't overtake you like a thief, because you understand the feast is what he's talking about. You understand this hour is not going to come upon you suddenly and you're not going to be aware of it. You're going to know because the feast of the Lord, he showed up. Remember, can you imagine being a Jew in that day? He showed up on the spring feast. That's why they got rebuked. I told you, I've been telling you, he came as a suffering servant. He came as the savior of the world. He's coming back as a conquering king. It's going to offend people. It's going to offend church people, because it's not going to be like they thought it was going to be. I want to be ready. I don't want to be caught unaware when he shows up as a conquering king and he decides that the American dream is not his dream. Oh dear. Another sacred cow. Jesus is not white. He does not have blonde hair and blue eyes. He is a Jewish man. He has olive green skin.
Fire.
With fire in his eyeballs and bronze feet. And the bronze feet are for the crushing of the nations that oppose his kingdom. And he's coming. And on his thigh it says, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And out of his mouth is coming a sharp two-edged sword. Karen said something. It was so funny this morning. It's so prophetic. You know you're on the right vein of things, Karen. When you hear, she's in tears in the prayer room, or out here, wherever it was in the prayer room. And she says, I've just been hearing this in my spirit. To him who has an ear, let them hear. She said it's been going on and on and on. Jesus says that 8 times in the New Testament. To him who has an ear, let them hear. Is he talking about this ear? He's talking about your spiritual ears. He's talking about understanding. To him that has an ear, let them hear what the Lord is saying and doing in this hour. See, I think as I look at you, it's like, okay, I'm waking up a little bit. I think this guy, because he's talking really fast and loud, I think I should get excited about this, maybe. I don't know. You know what it says right after? I read about Hanukkah and what Jesus said. In 22, it says, verse 22, and unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved, but for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Is God mad? No. Is he angry at the church? He might be disappointed in some areas, but he's not angry. He hasn't changed his attribute of love. I mean, he sent his only son. He hadn't changed. There's a severity side to God. There's the other side of the coin. Is he going to fulfill the promises to his son to present a bride without spot or wrinkle? I'm telling you, I have a feeling. I have a feeling in my heart. The fear of the Lord is suddenly about to break in on the church. and where you are right now in your heart right now. This is why God's been telling us, talking about intimacy for the last 6 months, is how you're going to respond when he shows up as the fear of the Lord. Because I think something's about to happen. I have a sense in my spirit, man, something big is about to happen. And depending on where our heart is postured is going to be the response that comes out of us. It's either going to be fear or excitement. If you want to know what I think, I'm going to theorize here. I'm not going to prophesy. I'm going to theorize here. I think there's a great earthquake that's about to happen in the earth. I just have a feeling. Next year, I have a feeling that North Korea and Syria are going to be a problem again. I know Trump's gone over, but North Korea has been supplying nuclear and chemical weapons to Israel's enemy for a very long time. I have a feeling, because of what just happened on 2BF, that it's going to be some things happening in the Middle East that we haven't seen. I mean, Psalms 83 is happening before our very eyes. It's a prophetic psalm. How are we getting ready? You know, after Matthew 24 is Matthew 25 is about the 10 virgins, the parable, the wise and the unwise. Do you have oil in your lamp? Oil represents intimacy. We did something different today. We sat and we waited on the Lord. But it can't just happen here. It has to begin to happen in our homes. I mean, the hardest thing, my kids will tell you, I can't get away with nothing with my children. They said, Dad, why can't we get some school supplies? I said, Daddy had to pay a ticket. Daddy had to pay a ticket. And my son said, Dad, you got a ticket? He said, what'd you get a ticket for? My youngest. I said, I ran a red light. It cost me $166. You mean I can't get my folder that I need for school because you got a ticket? He's nine. I'm in trouble. I do. I can't hide. My weakness at home is wanting to fill this hole in my life that's God-shaped with everything but God. I got like 9,000 channels now. It used to be easy, right? Back in the day growing up, three channels. If you're lucky, the rabbit ears, you had the aluminum foil, you stretching it out towards the window, you know. Yeah, it was off. Yeah, they were. It was done at 10. You know, you just got the Pledge of Allegiance, you know. The American flag flapping in the wind. And then, you know, the only good day for kids was after school. You could get Woody Woodpecker, right? Tom and Jerry. Yeah, at night, forget it. If you were a kid, Hee Haw and MASH were like the show to watch. Now we can just sit there. Blah, 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 blah,
and then say nothing's on.
And nothing's on, right. I look forward to Saturday's mornings as a kid because, you know, the Super Friends were coming on, all the cartoons. Bugs Bunny, the Roadrunner. Now, man, you can get that 24/7 now. Look, this—I can take phone calls on my phone, on my arm now. We're so advanced in technology; it's weakened us in our spiritual lives. And that craving that's deep on the inside, and I don't know why we continue to sit there and do it, but we just continue to do it because it works. Some people, if it doesn't work, they go to alcohol, they go to drugs, they go to addictions of all kinds, and they just keep trying to find. These are Christians. I'm not talking about sinners. I'm talking about Christians keep trying to find this fulfillment in the things of this earth. God does want us to enjoy things on the earth. Therefore, he wants us to have pleasure, but he wants us first. Papa Jack comes in here. He says it every time he walks in the door. You can't go to a Papa Jack meeting and not hear about the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. What are we seeking? Today is August the 12th. This is a season of consecration. I'm not going to lie, it's going to be hard to turn off my TV and seek the Lord. It's going to be hard to give up some things that I enjoy because I want to seek the Lord because I want to hear Him. I know it works. Here's what I know. When I've done this in the past, Gary, even though I know this, I've still resisted it. Even though I know this truth. In the past, when I've done this, guess what? Angels begin to show up in my house. God begins to encounter me in ways that I haven't encountered Him before. He fascinates my heart. And then I'm like, why haven't I been doing this all along? Oh, yeah. Somewhere along the way, I had a bunch of kids. Turned on the TV just to escape for a little while. All right, let's do this. Everybody stand up. Praise the Lord. God, I'm asking that You would help come and make us ready for the season that we're living in. That You would come and awaken our hearts in a way that we understand the time and the seasons that we're living in right now. Father, we want to be forerunners of the message that Jesus Christ is returning in the earth. It was Isaiah 40 that John the Baptist said, "Prepare ye the way." Come on, that happens on 2 Be'av. That's happened on July 27th. Prepare the way. They read out, prepare the way, the Lord is coming. Lord, we want to be those that are prepared and preparing the way for You to return. That men and women won't be offended as the conquering King inserts Himself in human history once again. God, we're looking forward to it with anticipation and desperation in our hearts to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords come. Help us, Holy Spirit. Help us. Remember, it says in Psalms, remember, Holy Spirit, we're just dust and we need Your help. Father, I thank You for this people in this church. I thank You for the leadership in this house. Father, I thank You for growth. I thank You for the highways and byways that are all around us. And Father, as we continue to lift up Your Son here in this place, I ask that You would begin to draw all men unto Him. I ask that these people would be blessed in their coming and going. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.